Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. We're going to read several verses together. We're going to skip around a little bit. We're going to read all of these verses in unison tonight. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 7. And again, we'll read all of these verses in unison together this evening. All right, Revelation 2:7. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now turn to chapter 2, verse number 11. Revelation 2:11. Let's read that in unison together. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now skip down to verse 17, Revelation 2:17. And again, let's read that together. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now skip down to verse 29, Revelation 2:29. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now skip to chapter 3, verse number 6, Revelation 3:6. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, chapter 3, verse 13. 3:13. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, and this will be the last verse. Revelation 3:22. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I'm so thankful it's not a dead book, but you breathed life into it so that it applies to us today. Lord, thank you for being our God. Lord, what a wonderful thing you've given us with our church. Thank you for the gift of the man of God that you've given us. Now may we listen tonight as we listen to him preach your living word to us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening I call the sermon, The Importance of Repeating the Truth. The importance of repeating the truth. Earlier, we read Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:29, Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, and Revelation 3:22. There are about 7 or 8 words in each of those verses that are identical. You almost feel like you're reading the same thing over and over and over again. God, for some reason, chooses to repeat himself. Tonight, I want to talk to you about why. And if God then chooses to repeat himself, then you're going to find in Sunday school, you're going to hear the repeating of the truth. Then you're going to come to church on Sunday morning and you're going to hear a truth, but then you're going to hear that truth repeated later on. You're going to come to church on Sunday night and you're going to hear a truth. And in a few months later, you're going to hear the truth again. Then you're going to come to church on a Wednesday night and you're going to hear a truth. And then many months later, you're going to hear that same truth again. And if you're going to the right kind of conferences, you're going to hear the same truth and then the same truth. If you're listening to the right kind of people on the radio, you'll hear the same truth. If you're reading the right kind of books, you're going to hear the same truth. Folks, God has chosen that truth be repeated and repeated and repeated. You new Christians, you need to know something. There is no new truth. There is no new truth. It's already been given. To the old Christian, let me recommend something. Don't go looking for new truth. Now, there might be some truth that you miss somewhere in the Bible, but there is no new truth. A lot of seasoned Christians make a mistake. They get bored with the same old truth, so they expand their horizons. They look for books, authors, preachers, evangelists, it's going to give them something new. That's a very dangerous thing to do. very dangerous thing to do. Say, well, I'm bored with it. I even know preachers. They say it's hard to prepare sermons, and preparing those sermons on the same old thing. Indeed it is. It is a bit hard, but wait a minute. It's not our prerogative to search for something that's not true. It's not our prerogative to ignore the same old truth. I have preached, and I keep track of this, to be honest with you. It's been some time since I've sat down with a calculator and checked. Somewhere, I have preached somewhere near 35,000 sermons. That's a lot of sermons to preach. But I have to tell you, if you line those sermons into categories, you're going to find there are a whole bunch of sermons that I've preached on the love of God. And another one 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 on the love of God. In those 35,000 sermons, there's a category for salvation. I preached on salvation and preached again on salvation and preached again on salvation and preached again on salvation. Never changed God's plan, same old salvation, but just kept on preaching it. I preached on the Holy Spirit of God, and then I preached another sermon on the Holy Spirit of God, and then I preached another sermon on the Holy Spirit of God, then I preached another sermon on the Holy Spirit of God. That's the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. I remember one year in my life, I was so busy I couldn't believe it. I was averaging, and for one whole year, I preached 24 sermons a week. You say, that seems almost impossible. I'm telling you, it was night and day. I was scheduled to preach from early until late, but may I say to you, there weren't a bunch of new subjects. I just had to preach the truth, and then repeat the truth, and then preach the truth, and repeat the truth. I think I've heard somewhere near, including the 35,000 sermons that I have preached, and then the times that I have set in services for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I love preaching. I carry preaching around with me. I'm always popping a CD. Used to be a cassette tape. You can go all the way back to reel to reel in my lifetime. And I love listening to it. And so if I'm not in church setting and like this in a pew, if I'm not in a pulpit preaching, if I'm not listening, I'm listening on CD. I'm listening to preaching somewhere around 50,000 sermons that I've heard in my lifetime. But I must tell you, I've heard lots of sermons on salvation and lots of sermons on the Holy Spirit. I've heard lots of sermons on the King James Bible. I've heard lots of sermons on goodness. I've heard lots of sermons on forgiveness. And I got to be honest with you, I always learn a little something new every time. I can even listen to the same identical sermon on CD. I can listen to it twice and get something out of it the second time I didn't the first time. Then I can listen to it a third time. I preach a sermon called See the Positive in Your Negative. And it's a whole sermon about how God takes the negatives of our life. He can create energy and power in our life with it. I have a pastor friend that recently told me he has listened to that sermon 27 times. He said, "Preacher, I've listened to it and listened to it." He said, and I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I got a lot of negative going on right now. I'm trying to figure out how to get positive out of this mess." And but 27 times the same sermon. Now, I just want you to know, preachers are going to re-preach the truth. I think God expects it. Matter of fact, I think God requires it. Now, I'm going to be extremely practical. I call this sermon The Importance of Repeating the Truth. Let me tell you why there is a repetition of the truth. The first point is this: repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to learning. Listen to this verse. In Mark 14:41, it says, "And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now." This is Jesus coming to the disciples. It's a third time in a little short amount of time. And he comes back and says the very same thing to them. I looked up in the scripture over and over and over again. You see the Bible saying, "And he said to them a third time. And he said to them the second time. And he said to them the third time." Listen, repetition is the key to learning. Most of you did not set out to learn the doctrines of the Bible. But many of you know the doctrines of the Bible. You say, "How do I know it?" Because it's been preached, and that same doctrine was preached again, 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 and you are doctrinally sound, not because you set out to be doctrinally sound, but because the doctrine has been repeated enough that you have learned it. Because repetition is the key to learning. Brother McLean, when you're working the guys on the basketball team, if you want them to learn a play, you know what he does with them? They run the play. Then they run the play again. Then they run the play again. And 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 then they run the play again. Then they run the play again. Then when they get in the basketball on the basketball court and it's a real game, it comes so natural to them. They know where to go. They know what to do. And when we repeat truth and you hear it here in church, then you go out into the war with the devil. Somehow the truth comes to you and you've got it. And repetition is the key to learning. So the importance of repeating the truth, repeating things, is the key to remembering and learning things. Number two, we have to repeat the truth because of new converts in the church. Because of new converts. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Listen, there are some of you, you might say, preacher, you preached on the peace of God today. And we've heard 20 sermons on the peace of God in the last 20 years. But I'll promise you something. There was somebody that got saved last week that came to church this morning and heard the sermon on the peace of God. It was their very first time ever. And they sat there and said, I've never heard anything like this before. And just so you all know, it was as good for you who've heard it 20 times in the last 20 years as it was good for them. And if some of you said, I'll tell you what, preacher, I've heard a lot of sermons on the peace of God, but that was really good. Think how the one felt that heard it for the very first time. But you see, there are new converts. There are new converts in the church. Now let me tell you something. Some churches don't have that. Some churches don't have new converts. And the congregation that's old and stagnant and same old, R4 and no more, they can get pretty disgusted with their old preacher because he's preaching that again. Why? We've all heard it all before. In my congregation, some of you might get mad because you heard it before, but somebody else is going to stand up and say, hey, I wanted to hear that. I never heard that before. But the new converts, you got to understand that. Hey, Sunday school teachers. Hey, bus captains. Hey, anybody here. You're teaching and preaching. You say, well, preacher, I kind of hate to say that again. But wait a minute. What about that brand new person? I said some things when I taught the men Sunday school class today. A handful of the men, they all said, oh, we've heard that before. There are a couple visitors in there that were brand new. And they sat there and had their mouth wide open. They said, oh, I've never heard anything like that right there before. Oh, yeah. You see, repetition is the key to learning. But not only that, the new converts in the church, they need to be taught the doctrines. They too need the repetition of the truth. Thirdly, not only new converts, but new members. Yes, sir. New members. The Bible talks about in the book of Acts that how the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Now let me tell you something. There are people that are new in our church and they might not even be new converts. Maybe they'd gotten saved years ago, but they've been in a church where they've not been taught, they've not been trained, they've not learned a lot of the Bible. So again, we have repetition of the truth for the new church member. Folks, not everybody in these pews have heard everything that you've heard in the last many years. They've not heard it. They're saved, maybe, but they're new in our church, they just joined our church, and they're untrained. And you and I, if we're not careful, we'll look at somebody and we'll watch their behavior and they're a new church member and we think, you ought not be acting that way. Preacher just taught us 2 years ago not to act like that. The only problem is they just joined the church 2 months ago. And they've got to be taught. And the new convert needs training, the new church member needs training, and repetition is the key to learning for all of us. Number four, you say, why in the world is there so much repetition in the Bible? Why is there repetition in the preaching? And I'll tell you why, because people forget. People just flat out forget. James chapter 1 verse number 25 says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Here God tells us there's such thing as forgetful hearers. You all know what I mean, don't you? Yes. Forgetful hearers. I joke about this all the way across the country. The average preacher, get up, he'll preach on Sunday. Somebody can ask someone in the congregation on Monday what was preached on Sunday, and they say, And the best answer at that point is what? Jesus. Baby, you're safe with that one right there. He preached a Bible out there in our church. Yeah, you don't remember. That's what your problem is. People forget. I don't know about you, but I forget. It's sad. Some of it is human frailty. Some of it is that I just don't listen like I ought to. But people forget. And I think there are times when we are, even those that have been in the church for years, we get up and we preach a truth, and you virtually say, you know something, I have just really forgotten about that truth. And I've forgotten how important that is in my life. For instance, every once in a while, God needs to touch on fasting. Because I'll tell you what happens. You'll hear about fasting, and you'll go do some fasting, and then somehow it falls off the edge of the radar. It's almost like we forget about its importance. And then a preacher gets up and says, you ought to fast every once in a while. You say, you know what? Any of you forgotten about the importance of fasting? You have? Well, there's a good reason for repeating it then. And I could list the items that we tend to forget about. And I'm not making an excuse, but I am telling you, that's why we preach it. And then a little later on, we preach it again. And a little later on, we preach it again. And a little later on, we preach it and we teach it again. Why? Because repetition is the key to learning. Why? The new converts, they've never learned any of it. Why? New church members have not learned what we have learned. They may be saved, but not trained the way we've been. Why? People forget. But not only that, people don't listen. People don't listen. Jeremiah 5:21, it says, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Huh. Do you know we can be sitting in a church service and a truth can be preached and we don't hear half of what's said? And I'm not talking about because you're necessarily fiddling around with your cell phone, but you know, I'm mad about that going on in churches. I'm going to keep throwing a fit about it. But I'll tell you what, we're nodding off and hey, I feel sorry for some mamas. Moms and dads, when they're trying to get the 4-year-olds to sit still in church, what a battle. I mean, the kid's on top of the pew, under the pew, and unbuttoning his shirt and taking his shoes off, taking his socks off, putting them on the wrong feet, digging in mom's purse, writing on the back of the guy's head in front of him, and oh, you know, and mom's over here just grabbing things and moving things and shifting things, and mom gets out of church, and dad says, man, that was a good sermon. Mom said, what sermon? What sermon? There are so many things that happen to us. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God can be spoken and preached and we don't hear it. And there's a variety of reasons for it. Now that's a good reason for repeating it. If you didn't hear it the last time, hang around. We're going to get around to it again. But not only that, God repeats Himself in the Bible. Now, preachers will repeat themselves if they want to be like God. Did you hear all those scriptures in the book of Revelation that we read together as a congregation earlier? God repeated Himself 7 times and almost used the identical words. Have you ever read the 4 Gospels? Have you noticed how close they are to being identical? Did you know there are no contradictions in the Bible? Which means if it said it in Genesis, it might say it in Exodus, and it might say it in Leviticus, and it might say it in Numbers, and it might say it in Deuteronomy, and it might say it in Joshua, and it might say it in Judges, and it might say it in Ruth. Did you know it might say it in Matthew, and it might say it again in Mark, and then again in Luke, and again in John, and then again in Romans, and again in Acts, and again in 1 Corinthians, and again in 2 Corinthians? Why? God repeats Himself. I want to be like God. So I repeat myself. I repeat myself over and over. It is God's example for training His people. Someone told me, when they transcribe, often they'll take sermons that I preach, and we transcribe them. In other words, somebody sits down, they put a headset on, they listen to me, and they type as I preach, and they say, most of the time, I think Mrs. Duke has done some of this, most of the time, in my own sermon, I repeat my points over and over and over and over again. Say, why do you do that? Did they teach you that at Bible college? No, I learned that from the Bible. Why? That's how God is. That's how God does it. So we do it by way of godly example. So here's what we've said thus far. We said repetition is the key to learning. We said we repeat for the sake of the brand new saved person that doesn't know it. We say we repeat for the new members that might be saved, but they're not trained like they need to be. We repeat because people forget. We repeat because sometimes people just don't listen. We repeat because it is God's example for training His people. Next. Now, this is my opinion, and I think this is true. I repeat because if it's good, I just like to say it again. And if it's good, it's worth listening to again. You know, that Brother Short sang a song earlier about Jesus coming back. We shall see Jesus. I could listen to people sing about Jesus coming again over and over and over and over again. I just like hearing about it. And Psalm 119:39 says, "Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good." Listen, there's so much junk out in the world. Why not come to church and hear the same good things over and over and over again? I like that. And the world's changing. You know what our nation stood for at one time in regard to marriage? They don't stand for it anymore. We believe the same thing about marriage here in this church that we've always believed. It's the same good old thing. Just same good thing. And it's good and it's worth hearing and it's worth repeating and it's worth listening to again. If it's good, let's say it again. If it's good, let's preach it again. If it's good, let's sing it again. But not only that, you have to understand something. Number 8, God is not producing any new truth. God is not producing any new truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9 says, "The thing that thou hast been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Now folks, so you know, the revelation, the word of God that has been given us, it's complete. Yes. You find charismatic churches and somebody say, "Well, I got a word in knowledge. God gave me a revelation of some new truth." No, you had too many anchovies on your pizza the night before, but God's not giving out any new truth. He did a fine job of writing the book that He wrote, and we don't need to add to it or take away from it. It is thorough. It is done. That which is perfect is come. That which is done in part can be done away with. So let me explain to you, there's no new truth coming around. There's no new truth coming to us. Again, let me say, if you're a young convert, God wrote a book. That book's going to keep us busy all the way through this life and into the next. There's no new truth. God's not producing any new truth. The Word of God was finished when they finished off the book of Revelation and put a period at the end of that thing. You say, "Well, I heard that there were other prophets that came after the book of Revelation and they wrote maybe the Book of Mormon." No, that's a book of moron. And it is not a new revelation from God. It is not a book of revelation from God. The Bible is a finished book. God's not giving us anything new, which means this. We've got to go back to the old. Go back to that same old truth. And then again that same old truth. And again that same old truth. You say, "Preacher, I've heard the story of David killing Goliath 1,000 times." Me too, and I like it every time. I like it every time that David defeats Goliath. And I like it every time that Noah builds that ark. I like it every time that we see old Jonah get puked out of the belly of that whale. You see, God's not producing any new truth. And since that's true, He wants us to keep using what He's already produced. That's a reason for the repetition of the truth. Then, of course, this is obvious, but I want to say it. Number 9, people grow. There needs to be repetition of truth because people grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, listen to me. Here's what I mean by people grow. There are people in this room. 3 years ago, you heard me preach a truth. You rejected it. You were not submissive to the Holy Spirit. I mean, you knowledgeably said, I'm not going for that." You rejected that truth. Oh, but you know what? You kept reading your Bible, kept praying, kept coming to church. God started softening your heart. A couple years later, I preach that same truth and you're in your pew saying, "Amen! Well, that's good right there!" What? Just a couple years prior, you said, "No, that's ridiculous. What a nut." Now, you're one of us. What happened? You grew in the Lord and it's a good thing I came back around the block and rang the bell again. You see, people reject truth, and as we grow in the Lord, we then accept later the truth that we rejected earlier. That's one of the reasons God repeats it. That's one of the reasons why preachers repeat it. But not only that. Number 10. I think sometimes we just, not because of rejection, but I think sometimes we need to just better learn the truth. We just need to better learn the truth. Psalm 119 verse 73 says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." Not just hear them, but understand them. Yeah. Folks, you take a truth. There's a way for you and I to learn something about a truth, but not learn all about that truth. And I think when we repeat the truth, we build upon that truth. There may be a truth that is preached. You say, "I accept it and I want it." But every time you hear it preached, you become stronger at it. You understand it better. It becomes more a part of you. And so I think repetition of the truth helps us to better learn a truth we've already learned. And I really, really believe that. You young people, as you're going through high school and you're taking your English classes, just so you know, you're going to find out that the understanding of a noun and a verb and an adjective and an adverb, we're going to keep repeating that to you over and over and over again. Yes, you're going to keep hearing about it. Why? We want you to grasp it. We don't want you to just have a surface knowledge of it. We want you to understand it. And every time you're taught the same thing again, you get a deeper understanding of a truth that you've already accepted. I'll tell you something. When I got saved, one of the primary reasons I got saved is I didn't want to go to hell. That is a surface reason, but it's a good one. Then later on, I figured out, I'm not only not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. I thought, now that sounds like the berries. Then I learned about salvation. I'm not only not going to hell, and I'm going to heaven. And here's the best part. I get to be with Jesus. Now, I wasn't in love with him back then at the beginning. Not like I am now. Now, hell, okay. Heaven, okay. Jesus, let's hear it for Jesus. You see, you can know a truth, but not know it well. And what the repetition of truth does, it deepens your understanding of the truth. That's why we repeat it. Hey, let me give you another reason why the truth needs to be repeated. Our children grow up. Our children grow up. Matthew 19 verse 14, it says, "But Jesus said unto them, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Now listen, folks, we have in this congregation, we have little ones that are 4 years of age, and in the last 6 months, they have moved up into what they call big church. That's because we're big people. The little ones have moved up into big church. They used to be in a nursery, and let me explain. This may not be exact, but for the most part, the four-year-olds, they've never heard it. Four-year-olds need to know the doctrine of salvation. Four-year-olds need to understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Four-year-olds need to understand the doctrine of eternal security. You see, you always have little ones. You have two kinds of little ones. You can have an adult little one. That's a new convert. They're like a newborn babe, and they desire the milk of the Word of God. But wait a minute. We have the actual little ones, our babies that grow up. I look out into the auditorium. I've been your pastor for almost 10 years. There are kids that are in this auditorium that for many, many years were in nurseries. Now I look out at them, and I really do believe in these years, because of the repetition of the truth, the little ones that knew nothing about the Bible when they come in are sound, even the little ones, sound doctrinally.
Yes, sir.
They pick it out. Why? Yes. Our babies are growing up. So we need to keep repeating it. Hey, let me tell you, moms and dads, you say you got four kids at home. You say, "Well, I taught the older ones." Listen, you got to keep teaching some of that stuff. Your 3-year-old and your 4-year-old need to hear some of the same things you taught your 12-year-old and your 13-year-old. They've got to be trained. We've got to repeat that truth. And so our little ones grow up. This is what we've said. What's the importance of the repetition of truth? Well, repetition is the key to learning. Our new converts need it. Our new members need it. People just forget. Sometimes people just don't listen. God repeats himself in the Bible. Therefore, it must be the proper technique. It is good, so it is worth repeating. God is not producing any new truth, which forces us to keep using the old truth. People grow. Something they rejected a year ago, they listen to now, they've grown to the point now, they're ready to live it. We need to better learn that truth, or learn that truth in a more deep way. Our children grow up then. This happens. The backslidden return. Folks, let me tell you something about being backslidden. When you're backslidden, you're blind. If you're backslidden right now, you're blind. People try to talk you into doing the right thing and you're not seeing it. Backslidden people are blinded people. Backslidden people aren't seeing it right. You know, and you can even tell on yourself. You're doing things now that you used to tell other people not to do, but now it's okay. What's wrong? You're backslidden. You're now justifying what you used to preach against, what you used to stand against. What happens? When you're backslidden, you're blinded. When you're backslidden, you're spiritually numb. Hosea 14 verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. What happens? It's amazing. Backslidden people come back to church and get right with God, and they feel like they're spiritually, I'm way behind. I got to get caught back up. You know what they need? They need to hear the same preaching they'd been hearing years ago. It helps bring them back up to par. It helps bring them back to where they need to be. It helps, you know, backslidden people haven't been reading their Bibles. They haven't been praying. They're not pure in their heart. They get into church. You know what a backslidden person needs to hear me preach? You say, well, they were in church for 25 years. You know what they need to hear me preach the day they get right with God? Read your Bible! You say, they've been hearing that for 25 years. I know, but they haven't been doing it. And they're blind. And they're behind. And they're out of sync with God. How do you get straightened out with God? Read your Bible, pray every day. I've heard that a million times, I know, but you don't do it. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Backslidden people return. We've got to repeat the truth to get them back to where they need to be. And to get back to where they need to be retaught and told to go back and do again what helped them to be right with God in the first place. That's why the repetition of the truth. Let me tell you one more thing and we'll be done. I think that we need to repeat the truth. And especially do we need to repeat the truth of salvation over and over and over again. Because salvation needs to be constantly offered for a variety of reasons. Our little ones. Little 3 and 4 year olds that come to church that are not saved yet. It is so sweet. I wish you could watch every time we have an altar call. And some of you do. But I wish you could watch every time we have an altar call while everybody has their heads bowed and their eyes closed. You parents, so you know. I know when your kids are prime. I can tell when they're coming. Because while everybody's got their head bowed and eyes closed and the preacher says, are you not saved? I'll watch little hands all over the auditorium. I'll think, well, we're getting close. I get to watch. It's just like, I know we're getting ready to pick some fruit. And that little tender heart's understanding Jesus. And I'll watch him go up a few times. And it's not long until I can see Mom talking to him a little bit, trying to figure out if they're grabbing at flies during the invitation or if they're sincere. But we keep offering salvation over and over and over, and we've not changed it. Same old salvation by grace through faith, and we offer it over and over and over because those little ones, hey, we need to offer it over and over again because sometimes people come to church and they tell us they're saved and they're not. Maybe somewhere along the line someone taught them that they were saved by their works or they were saved by baptism or they're saved by church membership, and we know those things don't save them. And suddenly one day the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit of God penetrates their heart and they realize, wait a minute, I get it. I'm not saved. Thank God, service after service after service after service. We repeat salvation and we repeat salvation and we repeat salvation and we repeat salvation. You remember back when we had about 20 some weeks where we taught on prophecy, I was amazed. The teaching of prophecy and the coming of Christ. We were having people saved and a handful of people that would have, prior to the teaching, said, I think I'm saved. But somehow, the Spirit of God and the Word of God got through to their heart. And they said, you know what? I better take care of this. Maybe they didn't understand what was going on when they got saved. Maybe somebody taught them something falsely. But you see, we repeat it for the sake of salvation. There are the little ones that need to be saved. There are those that maybe have been lied to by the devil. And I'll tell you this. We'll repeat salvation. I like hearing salvation preached again just because I have it. I just like being reminded. That's something I've got. You can't take it away from me. You might take my truck away from me. You might take my house away from me. You might take my health away from me if you can't get my salvation. You can't get my salvation. And every time I put out the plea, if you're not saved, come get saved, I can say I'm saved. I'm saved. It's worth remembering. It's worth the reminder. The scripture in Revelation, we watched 7 different times, almost an identical wording. You can find it all the way through the Bible. God says the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. There's reason for it. Now, let it help us. Let this practical sermon remind us. And when we hear, oh well, the preacher, he's going to preach on the doctrine of tithing or the doctrine of faith, or don't get bored with it. Say, you know what, there's a whole lot of reasons why we need that. Instead of, oh great, here we go again. I'm sure God's really pleased with that attitude of, oh great, let's just stay home and watch TV tonight. We've heard this before. No. You've not heard it all before. You didn't catch it all. There are many reasons why it needs to be repeated. You see, I didn't create this technique of repetition. God did. It's God's way. The human race should be careful not to get bored with God's way. It's God's way of helping us to become strong. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I hope that you will. If you're here and you're not saved, you leave your seat in a moment. You come down front and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. I'll see it. I'll know. God bless you. God bless you once again. Handful of little ones just getting ready. It won't be long now. Who here would say, you know what, Brother Owens, I guess I'm like you. There's that tendency. If you've heard it a lot, you wonder, do you need to hear it some more? Well, for some reason, God says we do. And I hope somehow I've reminded you of it tonight. Who would say, God tonight spoke to me. There's something about the sermon tonight that meant something special to me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. Teachers remember this. Parents remember it. Remember this key to learning, the repetition. Don't be ashamed of it. It's God's way. And if you need the altar, you come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. course, make sure you're ready. Choir, one more time through the song, please. One more time. Bless you, folks. Go ahead and have a seat there. When I call your name, please.